We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages you and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, we sit down with our friend Clayton King, the teaching pastor at New Spring Church in South Carolina. During our time together, we talked about bear hunting, sports, and renewing your thinking. Let's listen in.
Welcome, Clayton King, all the way from South Carolina. Is it humid over there?
Oh, man. No, I'm telling you, the one grace in the COVID-19 pandemic shutdown has been the weather in South Carolina. It has been beautiful every single day. It's been in the, you know, low 50s to mid 70s, almost no humidity. It did rain yesterday, but it's a beautiful day today. So our weather, April and October are like the Garden of Eden in wow. South Carolina. Yeah, the wow. rest of the year is not as great, but those 2 months are pretty good.
Here's what I want to do. I want to go ahead and just ask some questions. Just some basic questions about who you are. So we'll go ahead and start there. Clayton, tell us about who you are, maybe your favorite hobbies and things like that.
Yeah, so I'm a guy, 100% guy. I love four-wheelers and tractors. I love hunting and fishing. I love chainsaws. I love pro football, college football. I drink a ton of black coffee. I'm probably addicted, but I think it's good to be addicted to black coffee. I drink way more than I should black coffee. I love to eat meat to the glory of God. Also, I'm 47. I'm married to my lovely wife. She's my best friend. She's my partner in ministry. We started a nonprofit ministry together about 25 years ago called Crossroads, and we do summer camps and student conferences. We do resources for churches, mission trips around the world. I've traveled in 50 countries. I just returned from Uganda. My wife and I both were able to preach on New Year's Eve, about 5 months ago, New Year's Eve in Mandela Stadium in Uganda. One of the greatest moments of my life, James. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. There were 120,000 people in the stadium, Mandela Stadium. My wife was the first woman to ever preach at the event. And when I preached, I gave a simple gospel message, a simple invitation, made it as difficult as I could for people to respond because I wanted to make sure they understood the gospel and repentance of sin and trust in Christ. So with eyes open, lights on, and 120,000 people looking, I gave an invitation for people that wanted to be saved to stand up on their feet and repent of their sins. And we saw 30,000 people publicly respond to the gospel 5 months ago in Uganda. It was unbelievable. So I'm an evangelist at heart. That's my calling. I started preaching 34 years ago when I was 14 years old. I'm almost 48. I'm 47 now. So my wife and I run the nonprofit together. We have 11 full-time staff and 6 full-time interns. And then I'm also a pastor at New Spring Church. I get to serve under Brad Cooper and Dan Leanne and Shane Duffy, and we're all a team. And I'm one of the teaching pastors there. So I get to preach about every 3 or 4 weeks at New Spring. I've been a part of New Spring since it started 21 years ago. And I love 80s rock. U2 is the greatest band of all time. Boba Fett is my favorite Star Wars character. I do love to be with my wife more than anything else in the world. So that's a little bit about me. And I love to write. I think that's probably one of my hobbies. Sometimes I get paid a little bit to do it, which is ironic because my book releases next Tuesday, and it's the worst possible time to release a book in a global pandemic. But for me, writing is like preaching. I would do it for free because I love it and I'm called to it. And you know what? For the first 10 years of my life, I did preach for free. I remember the first time someone tried to give me $50 because I preached at a traditional Baptist church on a Sunday morning. It offended me. I was only 14. And I tried to give the money back. I'm like, no, I don't preach for money. I preach for the glory of God. And man, that pastor, he was such a boss. He gently but firmly put his hand on my shoulder. He said, son, you don't know what you're talking about. I appreciate your heart. I love your attitude. But you've blessed my church spiritually. Now my church wants to bless you financially. Don't ever turn down somebody's generosity. And that was one of those moments that was very formative for me in ministry. Final thing about me, I'm a dad. I have 2 teenage boys, Jacob and Joseph. They're both 6 feet tall. They're both basketball phenoms. They love Jesus. They love their mama. They love church. and they love LeBron James, and they can make an argument that LeBron is actually better than Jordan. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying that my boys are LeBron fans. So that's a little bit about me.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think we can have a full conversation about the documentary that's going out right now, The Last Dance, and then the whole argument between LeBron and Michael. But you did reference something that I want to bring attention to just for a second. I want to just share this video with you just for a second. I don't know if you remember this video, but you sent me this video right here. 120,000 people, 30,000 gave their lives to the Lord. And it is this is an actual party revival that was happening. So I love that you did share that with me, and I do appreciate that message. Another thing that you did mention is that you drink a lot of black coffee. I will drink coffee all day long, and so if you see me do this, it's the way of life. It's the way of life. And so I want to ask of you about hunting, because I know a lot of our guys love hunting. Obviously, our senior pastor, Pastor Robert, loves hunting. And so I know that you're a phenomenal shot from what I remember, but you have a specialty in general as far as bear hunting goes. So let's just talk about that for a second.
Yeah, so I, not far from where I live, probably about an hour from where I live, is some of the best black bear hunting in North America. The mountains of South Carolina, there are three counties you can hunt in. And then in the mountains of Western North Carolina, which adjoin those counties, we have killed some monster black bears. We've killed some that over 700 pounds. I have several stories. I'm just going to go mobile here in my office for a minute. I'm going to show you. My first bear that I ever killed is actually hanging on my wall. So I'm going to see if I can get him in the background. This was about a 350 or 400 pounder. That was the first one that I ever killed. And I've also, I've killed a few nice bucks. That's a 10-point buck that I killed a couple of years ago at about 40 yards, pretty good shot. So my favorite bear story was the last one that I killed, this bear. So we hunt with dogs. The dogs run the bear. They tree the bear. You come in, you shoot the bear out. And yes, we eat everything that we kill. And I know some of the guys are probably wondering right now, is bear meat disgusting? No, it's not. It is delicious. I prefer bear meat over venison 100% of the time. It's got the flavor and the texture of sort of like beef and pork, if you could imagine that sort of combination. But my favorite bear story, we treat a bear. It was just me that day at the tree, because all the other guys, we hunt with a big party. There's about 10 or 15 of us that hunt. They had gone to another bear that the dogs had run up a tree. I hear dogs barking. I go to this tree. There's a bear up the tree, seven dogs on the ground, shoot the bear out. The bear falls literally out of this big white pine at my feet. I thought the bear was dead. It was not dead. I reach down, the dogs jump on the bear. It's just what bear dogs do. They jump on the bear and they're kind of pulling at it a little bit. And the bear raises up and growls, grabs a dog by the mouth. They lock jaws. This is all happening literally at my feet. So I grab the dog, because this dog, James, this is no exaggeration, this was a $10,000 bear dog. These dogs are bred for precision, and the strike dog or the lead dog, it's like your quarterback on your football team. It's the Tom Brady that you pay big money to get in the draft. Okay, so I grab the dog by the collar to try to pull the dog out of the bear's mouth, and when I pull the dog out of the bear's mouth, the bear lunges at my foot. Literally lunged at my foot. I don't know if I spun because I'm like a ninja and I'm quick like that, or if it was just panic and I fell over backwards, but I spun out of the way. And as the bear lunges toward me, I put the barrel of the gun on the back of the bear's head. Literally, the barrel of the gun is resting on his skull, and I pulled the trigger. And he fell dead on my feet. blood on my boots. So I've never had adrenaline like that before. I was all by myself. The rest of the guys are 2 or 3 miles away at another hunt at another tree. So I had so much adrenaline in my body that I took off, had a long sleeve t-shirt on. I took off my long sleeve t-shirt, tied it around the bear's legs, and drug the bear out by myself down an old logging road back to the road. So when the guys showed up to where all of our trucks were parked, they were like, "How did you get that bear back to the truck?" I'm like, adrenaline. And then 3 hours later, after we cleaned the bear, we divide up the meat, we put all the meat in coolers, I was driving home, and I had an adrenaline crash. It was so quick and so strong, I literally had to pull over on the side of the road and go to sleep. I couldn't even drive home. So that's my favorite bear story. It's 100% true. And it's just one of the most, it's the most enjoyable thing that I get to do.
I sound like during that whole sequence of events, you were like basically Neo in the Matrix. Everything was in slow motion.
Yes.
You just synchronized your instincts. You know, one of my favorite quotes about the Navy SEALs is they say, you don't rise to the occasion, you sink down to your training. And I know that in this occasion right here, you've been hunting so many times, you almost just with your instincts, you just did what you needed to do to save that dog and save your life in a sense. And so that's an incredible story. So really quick, you referenced two things, but one is the bear meat. What is your favorite bear recipe, just really quick?
Tenderloin. Some guys call it backstrap. So very quickly, the best way to cook, in my opinion, you get a bear tenderloin or a backstrap. I like to cook it. I like to get a whole one and cut it up into pieces, marinate some of it in zesty Italian seasoning for about 2 days in your refrigerator, and then you can cut it like a fillet and grill it on the grill. Also, you can bake it in the oven in a baking bag. Fill the baking bag with your favorite marinade and then bake it in the oven. That's another way to cook it. But I personally like cooking over an open flame. And so my favorite bear recipe is the tenderloin soaked in zesty Italian dressing 2 days and then cooked on an open flame. Bear meat, at least the tenderloin, is a lot like venison. It's not very greasy, so you can't cook it too long or you'll overcook it. My second favorite bear recipe is barbecue bear ribs. Just cook it like you would ribs. Barbecue sauce, ribs on the grill or in the oven, baked until they get crispy around the edge, and take it out. And this is a South Carolina phrase that I'm going to teach you. It's so good, it'll make you smack your grandma.
Okay. That's incredible. So Todd Reynolds, Brad Conlin, we need to find some bear ribs so that we can smoke it at our tailgate parties. John Paul Reyes, if you're listening, Casey Butler, we need to find some bear meat so that we can make some bear tacos, because I hear that it's amazing. So the second thing that you referenced at the early on is that you are a diehard football fan. I know that you referenced a couple things there as far as, you know, your dog being the quarterback, the lead dog being the quarterback, the Tom Brady of it. And then you basically did a spinning. You said, "I spun out of that tackle," basically, out of that bear grab. And so you are a football fan. Are you a college or NFL fan?
Yeah, both. So my favorite team, I have two favorite teams, one college, one pro. I'm a Dallas Cowboy, and I'm not ashamed of it. I was a Dallas Cowboy in the 70s. Danny White, who was a quarterback and also the punter, Randy White, Ed Too Tall Jones. I named my first dog Dorsett when I was a kid after Tony Dorsett. So the Cowboys are always my team, always. I don't care if they don't win a single game. They're always my team. My favorite college team is the Clemson Tigers. You know, so many of those guys are part of our church at New Spring. As a matter of fact, let me show you this. I have a this football is signed by the Houston Texan quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
Incredible.
Yep. So Deshaun's a Clemson alumni. And, you know, we love in our home, love Clemson football. We also have a campus. We have two campuses in Columbia. So we also have a lot of Carolina Gamecock fans. And I'm a big Gamecock fan as well. But Clemson is my team and Dallas is my team.
That's amazing. So just really quick, what do you think about the Dallas Cowboy draft?
Hey, I'm a big fan. You know, it was time for some changes. I think we did well. On offense, Cowboys are looking pretty good, man. If Dak and Zeke can stay healthy, this could be our year. I mean, NFC East should be a lock for the Cowboys. I'll even say this, like, who knows how it's going to play out, but if we play well and stay healthy, we're going to be hard to beat in the NFC.
Yeah.
So, it'll be a good year, in my opinion. New coach, proven record, great players, good offense. We got the key players and the key positions on offense. Maybe some things that need to be worked and tweaked on defense, but we'll see. It's going to be a good year.
One of the philosophies that we have with men's ministry is that we don't connect indirectly unless we connect indirectly, which is something that I want to do right now. I want to let you meet your twin brother right now. He is a former Dallas Cowboy, Corey Proctor.
Whoa!
He was an offensive guard and center during the Tony Romo days. And I asked him to join as an impromptu interview with our friend Clayton King.
Oh, my goodness. Really
quick. Dude. So Corey is one of my really good friends. He loves smoking meats. He loves football. And he is a boss in the financial business. But Corey, just really quick, let me introduce you to my friend Clayton King, all the way from South Carolina. You're on mute, by the way, so just letting you know that.
Wow.
There we go.
There you go.
Clayton, what's up, man?
I'm just looking at you thinking how handsome you are.
I like it.
We just got done talking, Corey, about bear ribs. He is a bear hunter, and he will say that bear meat is probably better than deer meat. And so he just said that bear ribs is something that he loves to cook and smoke. The backstrap of basically a bear too. And so it sounds like something that we need to try, Corey.
Dude, I've never had bear before.
Yeah, it's delicious. It's of course kind of like deer. The younger, the better. And the boar, the male bears, are a little bit tougher than the sows. So if you have an opportunity to ever kill one, make sure that you clean it immediately, get the guts out, and get the head off, because the throat is one of the things that will spoil the meat in bear. But, man, bear meat is my favorite wild game that I've ever had in my life. The guys I hunt with taught me how to cook it, and they're old school, these mountain guys, man. They know what they're doing.
Better than elk. Elk is one of my favorites.
Yeah, you know, so the back strap on a bear to me is better than any part of the elk. I think the shoulder and the hams on a bear, you know, it's good. I still like it better than deer. I think I like the back strap and the shoulder on a bear better than elk. But again, it just depends on how big the bear is. Is it a boar? Is it a sow? What time of year did you kill it? You know, based on the testosterone levels and the meat, there's a science to it. But in reality, you know what, man? If you cook something long enough and slow enough, it's going to taste good.
Dude, James and I go back and forth all the time cooking stuff. He texted me the other day. I made some wings, and he had some dark meat on the other day. And I'm like, he's my guy.
We smoke on Sundays. I'm just looking at this trio of a Zoom call right now, and I am the worst looking person because I have no sense of a beard going on. I do have all the hair that I need up, you know, here, and so I'm really bringing this whole conversation down. I really think I am. So,
well, I'm jealous of your hair, James. It's been I hadn't had hair like that since the 1900s.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, here's what I want to do. I know that Corey is on the phone right now. He's going to stay muted just for a second. But I would love for Clayton, I want to go ahead and just transition. Like I said, we have a men's philosophy that that a man won't trust you in a discipleship type of relationship as far as just a normal man unless he trusts you in an indirect relationship first. And so hopefully you guys have gotten to know Clayton at a personal level. He is a human. He is a man just like we are. I know that he has the pastor title just like I do. But we're normal men who struggle with normal things. And we just want to just come down to earth and just say, we're here for you. We love you. And so hopefully this devotion, this quick little devotion that Clayton will have for us will be encouraging and challenging to you. So Clayton, whatever you have, take as much time as you want, and we'll just go ahead and just sit and listen.
Great. Hey, look, yeah, thank you for setting me up for this. I've been home with my wife and my kids now for, like you guys, for almost 8 weeks. And I tweeted this morning, or I put it on Instagram, that I am not going to miss this season. I've decided. I am not going to just escape to Netflix. I'm not going to escape to, a Zoom call every 30 minutes, even though I'm doing some of that. I'm going to be present with my wife and my boys. My wife homeschooled our kids for 7 years when they were younger. They go to public school now. But to have them back home with me now, Corey, your daughter on your lap right there is just so encouraging to me. It just communicates how much you guys love each other and how much she loves you, that she's just naturally right there on daddy's lap. I love that. What I want to encourage my brothers today with is some scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I've kind of been living here in this passage for a little bit. I'm going to read it. And I'm going to give you a devotional thought that is going to encourage you. Okay, so let me set this up for a second. When specifically men, when men don't have a purpose, when men don't have somewhat of a schedule, something to accomplish, something to do, it's easy for our minds to wander all over the place. And if we're not careful, our minds can become so open to every distraction that we allow the enemy access to our mind through crazy thoughts. Crazy thoughts like, I'm going to be broke when this is all over. My 401k has tanked. My Roth IRA is so bad right now. If we're not careful, we'll start thinking things like, I'm going to lose my job, or my identity is up in the air now because I can't do my work. But in reality, if we're a success based on what we do, then what happens when we fail? If our identity is wrapped up in our jobs, then what happens when we fail? When we fail, our identity suffers. I want to read this to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 and 5. Here's what Paul says. This is a really good point, I think, for our brothers who are struggling with some things. Here's what Paul says. For although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God. And here's where I really want to focus. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's huge. We take every thought captive to obey Christ. So guys, here's my word for you. We can't control as men. We can't control much of anything that's going on in the world right now. The COVID-19 pandemic has shown us all that control is an illusion. I've lost money in the stock market. Some of us have lost friends to the COVID virus. Some of us have no people who are sick with it right now. We can't control anything that's out there. We can't even control our marriages. We can't control our wives. We can't control our kids. But I want to show you, men, what we can control. We can control what's right here. We can control what's between our ears. We can control what we allow access into our minds. We do get to control that. As a matter of fact, we have been given dominion by God. We've been given authority by God to take every thought captive. Now, what that means is, when a thought tries to penetrate your mind, when the enemy puts a thought into your brain, when the enemy tells you you're not good enough, or God's abandoned you, or this isn't going to work out, or you're going to be broke or fired when this whole thing is over, or your business is going to close down, when those crazy thoughts come your way, here's what you get to do. You get to take that authority that God has given you. You get to exercise that dominion, and you get to capture that thought before it catches you in a toxic and a destructive mindset. We can control what's between our ears. We can control our mind. We can control our thoughts. And when we get to arrest those thoughts. So think of it like a police officer. We get to arrest those thoughts. we get to stop the thought, we get to put it in handcuffs, and then we get to interrogate that thought by the Word of God. We get to interrogate that thought by Scripture. If this thought doesn't line up with Scripture, if this thought doesn't look like my Heavenly Father, if this thought is not filled with joy and peace and patience and kindness and long-suffering, then I reject that thought. That thought may come to me, but that thought can't stay with me. So what we allow to take up root in our minds will eventually take up residence in our minds. Don't let a destructive, toxic thought that comes from the enemy take root in your mind. Root it out before it takes up residence. So we take every thought captive to obey Christ. We capture that thought before we let it catch us in a toxic spiral of destructive thinking. And that's what the enemy wants from us. So that's my encouragement for you men today. You are in control of your own mind. You control what you allow to come in here. You control what you watch on TV. You control what you watch on Netflix. You control what you think about. So the last thought I'll give you, think about this. Think about what you think about. Think about your thoughts. In the course of a day, quarantined at home, how much are you worrying about money? How much are you worrying about getting out of shape and not eating well and not being able to go to the gym? How much are you worrying about your job or about your small business? How much are you thinking about those things versus how much are you thinking about Jesus? How much are you thinking about the gospel and how God has promised that he'll never leave you or forsake you? How much are you thinking about your wife, your daughter, your son, ways that you can serve? Are you cooking meals for your family? I cooked dinner for our family last night. My wife's in seminary, and so she was working on a project, and I just decided I'm going to serve my family in this way. I'm going to make dinner for them tonight. And it was delicious, and my family loved it. You can control what you allow into your head. Think about what you think about and bring every one of those thoughts captive. Capture those thoughts and bring them into the captivity of obedience to Christ. That's where I'm living, guys. That's where I'm at. This is a fresh word for you because it's a fresh word for me. I'm right where you are, and I'm living in that reality. I will not let toxic, satanic, demonic thoughts control me. I will control them because I have been given dominion over my world, and I've been given authority over what I let come into my mind. And I'm only going to fill it with good things. I'm only going to allow thoughts to come in that point me towards Jesus and make me a better man. That's it. I'm done.
Man, that was really good. I can see this in a lot of different ways. That what you said is so refreshing. It's a great reminder. Just because if you are a believer, if you believe in the Holy Spirit, if you believe in Jesus, then just like he said, we can take dominion over what we think. And first of all, guys, if this is something that you struggle with, here's what I say a lot. A lot of people who struggle with lust, I say, the first thing you do is you don't have just a thinking problem, you have a looking problem. And what you need to do is you need to control what you see, because what you see is what you think. And so I say that all the time. And it's also, it goes along with the same thing with your ears as well, that whatever you listen to, I'm so sensitive to whatever my daughter listens to, what my youngest son listens to on YouTube, because there are some things, I tell you what, you might think that kids are selective listeners, but they hear everything. There are things that I am shocked that my Emma Bear will just will say randomly. I'm like, where did you hear that? From you, Daddy. You know, things like that. I'm just like, you were listening to me? You actually heard that? And you were in the other room? Things like that. And so I really do encourage you to go back to and listen to this one more time, even three more times. I absolutely love this devotion. Corey, I know that you probably have some things and thoughts really quick before we go ahead and close this thing, but go ahead and just give us your thoughts.
Man, yeah, I wasn't expecting, but this is awesome. I'm sitting there scribbling notes on my daughter's homework right now. And so I appreciate this just because I'm about to get on here at 11 to speak with a group of event organizers, people in the gig industry who have went from earning a bunch of commissions to zero. And I tell you what, you know, we're like minds just because we have a like foundation. And that's what I love. And I love to share with people is like when you come into times like this, what usually happens is so many issues in our society or people or problems that people face is from a lack of pillar or a lack of foundation that they're holding on to. And so not necessarily what you are not, but what are you about in this time frame? So are you about your relationship with Christ? Are you about your family? Like, are they important? What is the purpose of the job? The job is for them, right? I go to a job to provide for my family, and that's great, but if I'm doing that to provide, am I pouring into them at the same time? And what Christ has put us, especially as men, in charge of, to be the priest of the household. And so, especially, man, I love that, Clayton, as you guys, if anybody's coming through this time, where you're kind of shook or rocked off your feet a little bit, go back to that foundation. And that is why I love what James said is, what are you consuming? What are you looking at? What are you reading? What I love about this time is, man, when I know I'm getting away or I don't have some substance coming from me, it's because I'm not consuming what I should. And so I'll get up in the morning. I'm an early guy, but I encourage, first thing I do is I get up, I read something, I consume something. I usually read a proverb a day, and then I'm reading Levi Lusco's book right now, I Declare War, which is fantastic. And so, man, I get some juice from that, and then I immediately go connect. I get some work done because it's still early, but I go connect with somebody. And so what happens is all of a sudden, because I've consumed some fruit, I'm bearing fruit from other sources that God has given me. And what happens from that is the problems that I'm walking through, like maybe an income issue or a revenue, or maybe I'm worried about money right now for some reason, that comes as a side effect. Because now I've been able to bring fruit into the situation that God has given me, and I've brought something from the cup, because we can't pour from an empty cup, right? So many of us are trying to lead teams and just run out of juice. But if you don't ever fill that cup, all of a sudden you got nothing to give. And so you have to constantly pour into yourself and look for that revelation that he wants to give you. And it's so powerful, because when you do, it hits you so much deeper, brings so much more depth to you that you can't help to share that with other people. And so because of that, all other things happen, right? All of a sudden, my wife and I grow deeper, and hey, look, we're hooking up that night, and everybody's happy, and or in work, I'm bringing that to an employee or to a prospect or something, and I'm not thinking about the end money goal. I'm thinking about the end salvation goal. I'm like, man, I want to impact you, because Christ has impacted me and he's brought so much to me that if I'm doing that, all of a sudden everything else comes as a side effect, including money. And so that's where you made me think of. And I appreciate that big time, Clayton, because I'm taking these notes. My wife might scream at me for writing on her stuff, but I'm stealing it.
Well, I appreciate it, Corey. And like I said, I know that this is a time with Clayton King, but I wanted to bring you on just because of our affinity with the Dallas Cowboys and things like that. But I love your story, Corey. Clayton, what you don't know is that just a couple years ago, he was a hard case. He was a hard cuss. And I remember meeting him for the first time a few years ago, and he was not a devout Mormon, but he was of the Mormon belief, and he did not want anything to do with church or God. And so he has an incredible testimony, and just to see where he is right now, even in this Zoom call with us, is an incredible thing. So if you have loved what you've heard today, I want you to go to his Instagram and follow him on Instagram, and also go pre-order his book. So Clayton, just give us a few thoughts on this.
Yeah, this is my 17th book, and it's my favorite one that I've written. It took me a long time to write this book, and I think one of the reasons why is because I wanted to tell the full story of how Jesus actually changes people. That's what the book is about. I start in John chapter 3, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus and asks him a bunch of questions, but none of those questions are the real question. He's asking questions that don't really matter, because he had a hunger in his heart for real change. And Jesus cut straight to the chase and said, unless you are born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. And so what I do in the book, this is what makes the book unique. There's not another book like it that I can find anywhere. I take 12 people from the New Testament that had an actual personal face-to-face encounter with Jesus. And I tell those stories, and then I parallel them with real people that I've known who were just like that New Testament character who also had an impact from meeting Jesus face to face. So I talk about Nicodemus and Zacchaeus and Judas and the woman at the well and the woman caught in adultery and the woman who bled for 12 years and Stephen, the first Christian martyr, and the little boy who gave up his lunch to Jesus and Jesus fed 20,000 people with it. And I take all of those New Testament characters and I show how Jesus changed them even in their brokenness. That's what the book's about. It comes out next Tuesday. You can get it on my website, claytonking.com, or you can get it at Amazon. And I'd love for you guys to check it out.
Well, I appreciate it, Clayton. Thank you so much for just joining us and our kids that have joined us. I really do appreciate everything that's happened today. I am so encouraged by this. I'm actually about to get off this Zoom call and pre-order that book as well. So thank you so much, Clayton. We are going to have you at the conference one day. If it takes another pandemic, we're going to find a way to get you here no matter what. So,
hey, 2021, that's our year, man. You give me the date, and it's on my calendar in ink.
That's awesome. So here, Clayton, if you can, why don't you just pray us out, and then we'll go ahead and just end this call.
Lord, I want to thank you for my brothers who have been able to join us today. I pray that what James and Corey and I have shared has been an encouragement to their souls. I pray that these brothers would look at these days not as a failure, not as something to endure, but something to embrace, that they'll work on their relationship with you, that they'll learn to take every thought captive, that they'll control what's between their ears, they'll control their thoughts and take dominion that you've given them so that they can walk in the Spirit. I pray this in faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. And if you want to stay connected to everything we're doing as a ministry, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a blessed day.